support comes from Relocation Planners, a locally owned business for the past 21 years offering full moving services and auction services. Relocation Planners' experienced staff can help guide clients through the process, allowing focus on important things in life. More information about Relocation Planners online at relocationplanners.com or at 513-405-7356. That's 405-RELO.
The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where every week of every year for more years than you can count on your fingers and toes, we've been bringing the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate business. Or maybe not real estate business, maybe mobile home business, because mobile homes, are they really real estate? Maybe they are if they're on land. I don't know. But for all of my friends out there in listener land who have been complaining that simultaneously there are no deals out in the house/apartment market, and also that stuff isn't selling in the house/apartment world, and also that everything's too expensive and nothing pencils out and it doesn't work anymore. You know, you can look at the thing that is wrong that you can't do anything about, or you can go find a way to do it. I mean, that's just like the rule in real estate and probably in life as well. And one of the many alternative strategies to, I've got to go buy a property for 70 cents on the dollar and somehow get an interest rate that makes it work as a rental property, is look at another asset class. Go find a mobile home. There's these things called mobile homes. You all know about those, right? Yes, I know about them, but nobody wants to live in mobile homes. Wrong. Mobile homes are the most affordable housing in the U.S. right now. We got an affordable housing shortage. Not in the mobile home world. We don't have an affordable housing shortage. They're different than what you're used to, but they're not harder or easier than what you're used to. You just got to learn how to do them. And today I am interviewing author Adrian Smood, who is a longtime mobile home investor after having done the unthinkable and selling all of his single family homes so that he could buy mobile homes. And he is the author of How to Buy Mobile Homes, subtitled The Unorthodox Guide to Capitalizing on a Hidden Niche in Real Estate Investing. He's joining us by phone today. Adrian, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about mobile homes, one of my favorite topics.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about mobile homes too, but I'm specifically excited about talking about the way that you do it, because the way that you do it is a little bit different than what I was instructed to do back in the day when I first started reading and studying mobile homes. And there's no question about your success. I'm just wondering why you chose to do the thing you did. Now, before we get into the thing you did, or the thing that you do, I do want to do a quick summary of the different ways that one can invest in mobile homes. It's not that there's different types of mobile homes. It's that there's different locations where you might invest in them. And we did send out, by the way, Adrian wrote a whole like 3-page summary of this, which I sent out with the e-letter yesterday for all the folks who are actually subscribed to the Real Life Real Estate e-letter. And if you're not, you can go to regottis.com and get subscribed. But for the folks who didn't read that, Adrian, just quickly go through like the different ways that people do this.
Yes. So you can buy just the mobile home. I jokingly call them the aluminum castles. But it's not real estate because you're not going to buy any dirt underneath it. You're typically in a mobile home park, and you have to pay the owner of the mobile home park lot rent or space rent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a cheap way to get in, but you don't own any dirt. And to me, you also don't get any control because the lord over the land, the mobile home park owner, makes all the rules.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they change their rules. Sometimes you buy a mobile home in a park and you think, this is going to be really good. I know what it'll rent for. I'm going to make money on it. And then 6 months later, you get a letter from the park owner saying, yeah, we've decided we don't want any more mobile homes in here that were built before 2015. So you have to move yours.
More like what happened to me, and I learned the hard way, is they sent me the letter on April 5th saying by the end of the month, you can't own anything in here that you don't live in.
Mm.
Okay. That was a hard lesson, and luckily I didn't own a bunch.
So sell it all, or basically we own it? Like, what do you do when you've got 25 days to get rid of something that you probably had a tenant in?
You can try to fight it, which is not my demeanor. I just go make money somewhere that's positive.
That wants you.
Yeah. I end up selling them. It was a weird time that I actually was in between tenants, and I sold it for cash. I made some money. I learned a lesson, and I made money. But I stuck with that. I lost control. The park owner made all the rules, if they were legal rules or not, and I lost that control. And I'm in Central Florida, so we have these things called hurricanes. Mm-hmm. So a hurricane does wipe a mobile home off, and I own the dirt. I own dirt. I still have something. If it's in a park, well, I just own the right to pay lot rent. And that doesn't sit real well for me to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, let's talk about the other way to invest in mobile homes besides the way I do it. You can own the mobile home parks. I'm sure people have seen those on Instagram because they have lots of sexy zeros on the purchase price. But the hedge funds, Wall Street, got into these years ago. And they have cheaper money than I have. And they can pay more because they have cheaper money. So the competition got really high here. I'm not saying there's not any there left, but the competition got tough. And I don't like to have a lot of competition because, well, then I have to work harder to find my deals.
Mm-hmm.
So the middle ground, I call it, is the single unit. Doesn't mean a single wide. It can be a single wide or double wide. It's one unit with the dirt. So I own the home, I own the dirt, basically the single family world. I get all the control because I own the dirt. It's a mobile home, so it costs me a little less. It's going to rent really close to the same as the single family world. And I make a lot of money, and it's still this forgotten little space, so I don't have a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what we're going to talk about for the rest of the show is that we're not buying a mobile home and putting it on land. We're not buying a mobile home that's not on land. We're buying a mobile home that is on land. And we'll talk about what exactly to do with that, along with a whole bunch of other stuff, after we come back from the break. Listeners, if you have any questions about mobile homes, today is the day to ask them. I've done like, I don't know, 6 or 7 mobile homes in my entire real estate career, and they were almost all accidentally So I am not the person to ask. Adrian is the person to ask. The way you would do that is give us a call at 877-772-9658. Again, 877-772-9658 or at vinaradio@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox. My guest today is Adrian Smood, who is a passionately devoted mobile home investor. Not words that you maybe think of when you think about people who invest in mobile homes, but Adrian loves them. Adrian, you actually has owned single family homes and gave them up in favor of mobile homes. Can you explain that, Adrian? That is such a foreign concept that people would have perfectly good single family homes and sell them and buy mobile homes instead.
Yeah. The reason I will say got addicted to mobile homes is I was a single family investor, as you mentioned. And as I dug deeper, why am I really investing? I landed on, I am a cash flow investor. I like to get a check every month and spend it on my life. Well, with the same dollars as buying one single family house, I can buy multiple mobile homes. And our rents aren't that far off. So I'm able to bring in a lot more cash flow every single month with the exact same dollars as buying a single family ranch style corner lot house.
Well, that's a pretty decent argument, but they're mobile homes. I mean, don't they, like, the thing about my single family home is, you know, we can see some years on the chart where the value might temporarily decline, but overall, over time, the value of the single family homes just goes up and up and up. Is that, that's not true with mobiles though. They depreciate like cars, right?
Well, my net worth chart and bank account don't agree with you. Do they appreciate at the exact same rate? No. But do they appreciate? Yes. Let's look at it from the standpoint of a really old mobile home, one that you would say, most people would say, never going to go up in value. It only goes down. Well, the rents are going up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to us investors, the value of buying this asset that is producing money keeps going up. But just based on rents alone, investors are paying more and more for mobile homes. And then let's talk about the person that lives in it. If they're buying it to live in it, if they are renting it, the person's actually going to live in it. The value to them of having a roof over their head is very high. And as rents go up all around them, they will pay more and more for a mobile home because they value a roof over their head and safe living. Maybe not the structure so much. They value where they live.
Aren't mobile homes just like made of plywood and aluminum? And aren't they like, I've never fixed a mobile home. I imagine they have maintenance issues just like a single family home would have. And in my head, they would be harder to fix.
Oh no, they're easier to fix. I'll give you a quick example. When you have to rewire a house, you have to run that electric down the walls to the outlet. In a mobile home, the electric is running under the home. And remember, they build these in factories. So the outlets are actually a little lower. And it's very easy for the electrician just to run the wire up. They don't have to fish it down. They don't have to go through all the inside of the walls and break all the drywall apart. It's pretty easy for them to run it. They build these in factories very efficiently, so everything runs in the most efficient manner. Everything meaning the plumbing, the electrical, all the systems run in an easy format underneath the home. So think of your wood frame home, you'd go underneath and you'd fix everything. The older ones, will say, have wall paneling, and that's a cheaper product than putting drywall in it. If we want to upgrade them, we'd put drywall. We'd put exact same materials as any house. Or we can stick with the original materials that are a little bit lower cost, such as the wall paneling.
Okay, so the homes are cheaper, the rehab's cheaper and easier. They're more affordable to the people who live in them, but at the same time, they have a higher rate of return than single-family homes.
Yep, because our entry cost is lower. Our property taxes are lower because we keep letting the counties and government think that these are worthless, depreciating assets. That's a time I actually will agree. They're depreciating because my property taxes stay lower. And our rents are not that far off of single family or apartments. Yes, they're a little bit lower, but we're not talking $400 or $500 lower. We're talking $100, maybe $150. And of course, this means you are rehabbing it to the same quality as your comps. We're not that low on rent, and all of our entry costs are lower.
Well, you're making it a little hard to argue with you, Adrian. So let me ask you this. What do you do? We'll talk about kind of like how you find your deals and whatnot in a minute, but once you found something you like and you've evaluated and you've made your offer and it's been accepted and all that sort of stuff, what is it that you do with these properties?
Well, we could do anything you can do with a house. What do I personally like to do? I like to rent it really long term, the longest term tenant resident possible, because that means money's coming in every month and I don't have to work. We have to work as property owners when the property's vacant. What have I done? I've underfinanced it to someone that's going to live in it. We still have to comply with Dodd-Frank because it is housing. I've underfinanced to other investors. You could do a lease with an option. All the different topics we talk about in real estate can be done with a mobile home. But my preferred is the long-term monthly cash flow. I also didn't mention, you can fix and flip them. Mm-hmm. And that is another popular way to invest with mobile homes that isn't seen as much. When I say that it isn't seen as much, the normal investor doesn't see it as much, but it's popular amongst people I know.
Okay, now I got you, Adrian, because I read Deals on Wheels, which I'm guessing you probably did too at some point in your life. And the author of Deals on Wheels says, never rent a mobile home. The best way to do it is to sell them on financing. And he had a whole book worth of reasons for that. And here you are saying, I rent them.
Yeah. So why would I rent versus selling them? Well, first of all, I like being a housing provider, and I'm good at it, and I'm fair to people. So I don't dislike the topic of being a housing provider. But the bigger reason is once you sell it, eventually the payment stops, and you have to go back to work. It doesn't mean I don't work at all, but I don't like it when payments stop. Income streams stop makes me sad. And you could do it with mobile homes. Nothing wrong with it, but I like the rental that keeps coming in and the appreciating land, the appreciating rents to other investors, the appreciating value of the home to an owner-occupant that would look to buy it from us. It does go up in value, so I get appreciation. I get some depreciation, too. I get all the items that we get in a house, and I get my income coming in over and over and over again for the rest of my life.
Are you saying Lonnie was wrong? Are you saying the late, great Lonnie Scruggs, who everybody in the mobile home world knows and practically worships, was wrong about selling them on financing?
I would never tell the man he's wrong. I just like my method better because I don't have to go and work again. I still buy them, but I just get really sad when someone were to pay me off and income would stop coming in.
Okay. Fine. I'm convinced that you have a strategy that is profitable, is good. I'm guessing you probably have less competition looking for the kind of properties you're looking for than I have looking for the kind of properties I'm looking for.
I definitely have a lot less competition. I'll give one example. If the listeners were listening closely, you mentioned earlier that I think you said 7 or 8 you've done
in 30 years.
In 30 years.
In 30 years.
You are a very experienced investor, and you even said you weren't looking for those.
Correct.
So experienced investors aren't looking for them. Who is? I am. My competition has been very low. Realtors bring me mobile home leads. Investors bring me mobile home leads. I closed on one yesterday that another investor, a buy and hold investor, he brought it to me because he happened to get the lead. He wholesaled some, but he didn't even want to send it out to his whole list. He knew I buy mobile homes with land. And he just said, hey, do you want this? It was great because I didn't have to fight through all the other competition. When I'm direct to seller, well, in those cases, it's not me and a whole other line. Well, I'll call you back because I have 10 other people coming to see it as well and let you know what my best offer is. I don't get those.
Hmm.
And I'll give you one other reason I know that there's not a lot of competition. I own some free and clear mobile homes, and I do not get very many pieces of mail marketing to me. So people aren't using the letters and the postcards and everything that they use on regular houses.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's why they say there's riches in niches.
Yep.
And you have yourself built out an entire little niche about, you know, how do I find them? How do I evaluate them? How do I finance them? What do I do with them next? How do I manage them? And that, I'm sure, has been the secret to your success. We're going to take another quick break, after which we will go to the email and answer some questions that some folks have sent to vinaradio@gmail.com. If you got a question that can't wait for email, give us a call, 877-772-9658. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox. My guest today is Adrian Smood. And George was saying, okay, so that was just devil's advocate for the first half of that. You don't really like think Adrian's doing something stupid. I'm like, no, actually, I respect him more than just about any other mobile home guy out there.
And I wanted to know what the hitch was.
Yeah. The thing is, of the 5 or 6 mobile homes that I have ended up buying, and it was almost always because somebody called me off of, you know, they like knew I bought houses and I got into a whole conversation with them about their house and then discovered it was a mobile home. All but 2 of those have been on land. I love mobile homes on land. I can't find an end to the desire for mobile homes on land. And Adrian, you and I work in very different markets. I know in Florida, mobile homes are kind of just an accepted way that people live. And here in Ohio, and I've done some in Kentucky and Indiana as well, they tend to be very inexpensive, and they're kind of thought of in the investor world like very second or third class housing. Like, I don't want to touch those mobile homes. But from the perspective of the people who want to live in them, they really want to live in them. It's often not their second or third choice. That's what they are looking for, is a mobile home. So we got some questions here in the email. SK, who, as I recall, is in Colorado, says, hey, I'm currently investing in manufactured home and land packages. You might want to mention the differences between mobile and manufactured and other deals. I don't know the difference between mobile and manufactured. What's the difference between mobile and manufactured?
Well, let's back it up even older, the word trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So trailer is before this very important date, not my birth date, June 15th, 1976. That is the date the federal government stepped in and said, all right, we're going to have HUD is going to have a standard for these trailers around the country. So before that date, it's kind of the wild, wild west. There wasn't so much. There were some really good upgrades in the standards, such as like no more aluminum wiring. So those are trailers back then. And essentially after that, it's manufactured homes. I call them mobile homes because it's a little more of a general term, mm-hmm. even though they're not that mobile. But if you're going to be searching on the MLS, you're buying anything brand new, it's definitely going to be called a manufactured home. Mm-hmm. But because our words are really important, the way I use these terms is if I am buying one, they're all trailers. I don't care what year it is. Because a trailer sounds cheap and lower perceived value. And if I'm selling it or leasing it, they're all going to be manufactured homes because it sounds stronger and a higher priced item.
Uh-huh.
And I will use those terms unless I'm corrected at least once, sometimes twice. And that's my, I'll say, joke on it, which I really use that those different terms, on the differences of them. Mobile homes are not that mobile. People think, oh, you can just move it over here. It's $8,000 to $16,000 in most markets to move and set one up.
Yep.
That's not that mobile. Mm. And no one's going to go and put a pickup up on the back of it and move it. It's not that easy. It's not that cheap to move them. They don't move around very often.
Yeah, you got to get permits in Ohio to move them. It's like yep. this whole big deal. The state charges you a bunch of money just to have the permit.
Yep. And then you can get that permit and move it, and the mover could damage it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a useless mobile home.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me how I know. Not now. It's too long of a story. But I have had that hard
okay.
lesson.
So question from Mike. He says, are you able to depreciate your mobile home rental on your taxes like I depreciate my single families so that part of the profit isn't counted as taxable income?
So the way I understand it from my CPA, because I am not a CPA, that we typically depreciate the home and land the same 27 and a half years as any house. But because there's the option of separating them out on my taxes as the home and the land, he could opt to accelerate it in 5 years for just the home. Because obviously we can't depreciate the land.
Mm-hmm.
I let him, because he's a tax professional, decide when and if we do any of that. But it is a little of, you know, people get excited about accelerated depreciation. If we need it, it's there. And the other argument I hear on this topic is, well, they don't cost very much, so there's not much to depreciate. Yeah, you're kind of right. We're making a lot more money, and we're making more money than you were saving on taxes, so I'm actually netting more money.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see the problem with it. I don't get obsessed with paying zero taxes. If I'm making a ton of money and I'm making a ton after taxes, okay.
You're all good with that. Okay. So that, listen, listeners, if you have questions, we've got like 15 minutes left in the show. Give us a call at 877-772-9658 or send them to vinaradio@gmail.com. I could not have answered either of those questions. If you send it to me next week, I'd be like, I don't know. I think so. I don't really know how that works. Because unlike Adrian, who rents his mobile homes, I have always sold the ones that I have on some sort of an owner finance deal. And of course, I cannot depreciate them when I do that. So, Adrian, we've got another question here. Ooh, John's on my side. He's trying to play devil's advocate. He says, I understand that it's a lot harder to get money to buy mobile homes, even if they are on land, than it is to get money for real estate. How does Adrian handle that?
I love this objection. And if I was standing in front of you, we were in my buying market, I'd say, you're right. Send me all your leads. And that's how I make my money. So it can be more difficult if all you know is the traditional bank route. But I will tell you that the older ones, the older meaning 1960s, 1970s, those have been very easy for me to get owner financing at really low interest rates or 0%. Those homeowners typically know more about owner financing than a lot of investors I have found, because they probably bought on owner financing.
Yep.
I don't like to use the term owner financing because it sounds complicated. I say payments. We keep it real simple. You can use community banks. There's a lot of, we'll say, chatter right now about DSCR lenders lending on mobile homes. I've been talking with a lot of them. I've seen that they have trouble getting their money out, so now they're deciding to lend on mobile homes. But private money, that's a great way. There's lots of humans, friends, and families of ours that need to put their money to work, and we can pay them a good return with a mobile home because we make a really good profit.
So maybe what John had heard was that it was hard to go to the bank and get financing, but all of the other ways, John, that you would normally finance a house without going to the bank, you can do the same thing with a mobile home. And particularly, remember, Adrian is buying his mobile home on land. So, like, I bought a mobile home in a park. There was not financing that I could really get on that, because it wouldn't have been, I mean, it would have been a true mobile home loan. It'd be a personal property loan the way a car loan is a personal property loan. And this one was old enough that the couple of places that I talked to that did mobile home lending were like, no. we like stuff that was built like after 2010. And this one definitely wasn't. But it was fairly easy to jump on the exchange call and get a private loan on it. And again, Adrian has land with his stuff that he can actually put a mortgage on it. It's not just a loan on the mobile home itself. So keep that in mind, John. But he just has an answer for everything, doesn't he? Like, no, they're not hard to finance. No, they're not hard to... Fine. No, they're not hard. No, none of that stuff is hard at all. So my last question for you, and we'll go back to the listeners after this, is evaluation. That's always kind of knocked me for a loop, because the mobile homes themselves are personal property like cars. And finding the value of a car is hard, much less, you know, it's a 1999 such and such double wide model so and so. And I get it that there's a blue book for that. I mean, literally, there's the blue book, the same blue book that's for cars. They have one for mobile homes, but that doesn't really help me understand what it's worth if it's in a good park or a bad park or a has an acre of land or 2 acres of land. How in the world are you figuring out what to pay for these things?
Let's start with the fix and flip side of it. If it is going to be fix and flipped, we are going to have an end buyer that's going to have a bank. So kind of touching on the last question. So you do need to have the bank's qualifications there. Now, this isn't going to be that 1976 I mentioned earlier, because it's not going to get bank financing. You run your comps with something that you're going to fix and flip the same way. Now, you're going to have to do a few extra things, because the mobile home, like, make sure the skirting, the tie downs are all correct to then sell it. So you're going to run your comps the same way. If you can't find comps, well, just like a house, you're probably going to be in a slower market and have a little bit more trouble. Now, for my buy and holds, I evaluate them first on cash flow. What type of return on my investment am I going to make? I still look at the dirt value, because I want to know, well, if something happens to this mobile home, do I have dirt that's worth something? And I'll tell you, a lot of times I've bought at dirt value. So then if something happens, you know, I can replace it or I can sell the dirt. I also look at just comps. Now, comps are trickier, as you mentioned.
Yeah, they are.
Because I have found we have a lot of comps that are investors, really low cash prices. And then we have these really high prices, and I'm like, these can't be right. What I figured out on those ones that, like, are just too high, those are investors selling on owner financing. So we don't have that middle market that we typically have with a house of what the banks do, the everyday median market. We don't usually have those. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at, all right, what can I sell it for if I just need to get out of it to another investor? What could I sell it maybe on terms? But most importantly, what type of return do I want? That's the main thing I look at. I have to make sure my investors, my private money, my friends and family are safe if something happens. But what return am I looking for? An older one, I'm looking for a much higher return than a new one. And a new one to me is the 1990s. I have bought a 2004. That last year was the first time I came into the 2000s. Mm-hmm. And I always have to make sure I say what's older and newer, because a lot of people think a 90s is old. And I'm like, that's new to me. So we evaluate them on our return on investment.
Okay. Yeah, the comps were always a big problem for me because, again, you have more mobile homes down there in Florida than we have up here in Ohio. And, there are a few more in Kentucky. There's a few more in Indiana, particularly as you get out into the rural areas. But what I kept running across was, okay, there have been 5 mobile homes on land that have sold. Mine is a single wide from 1970 on 1 acre. The one up the street is a 2015 on 5 acres. The one down the street from that is a double wide with all these extra bells and whistles, but it's only on a 50 by 150 lot. It's tough, largely because of just the sheer lack of sales in a lot of the country. But what you're talking about doing, instead of saying, all right, well, we know exactly what it's worth, is doing what I call a trash flow analysis, which isn't what's it worth so much as at what price can I buy it and generate the kind of return on investment I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. And let me quickly touch on, in your scenario where you just want to sell it, what would a house sell for on payments that's decently comparable? Because we know people buy payments. Mm-hmm. They don't always buy the actual price of it. It's like, what can they actually afford a month? You can kind of track what people can actually afford that want a comparable, and mainly I'm saying comparable by how many bedrooms, bathrooms, and the amount of land. I have found in the rural areas, a lot of people that want to live there, they want an acre of land. They don't always care what the structure is. Mm-hmm. They value the acre of land. And for city folks, that can be hard for you to understand. They want chickens and grass to cut and rabbits and
corn,
a big fenced in yard. They value those things. So if a house, they can afford $2,000 a month on their payments, and you can kind of back out the numbers looking at the mortgages, you can assume most people that would be buying some of that would be able to afford about the same. I will say a lot of people, the handy women that buy these on payments to live in, they're not very bankable. So sometimes people can charge a little bit higher rates on there. But that's another way you can work backwards to see, well, what type of payment can I actually get out of that, and run your numbers that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, we need to take one more quick break. We're going to go back to the last few questions here in the inbox at BinaRadio@gmail.com. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. Talking today about mobile homes on land, renting them, with a guy who does it all the time, Adrian Smood. Adrian is going to be teaching an all-day online class. Well, I say it's all day. It's 10 to 3 Eastern time. This Saturday it's online. So you can come to this if you can hear my voice, you can come to this because, it's going to be a Zoom class. You can get more information about signing up for that class at CincinnatiREIA.com, CincinnatiREIA.com. It's going to be introduction to buying mobile homes, where he actually has 4 hours without me interrupting him. I'm sorry, 5 hours without me interrupting him, to really walk you through the process. And everybody who comes to that class also gets an audio book from him, his book, How to Buy Mobile Homes. You're going to get the audio version of that for free. So go to CincinnatiREIA.com, check it out. The whole agenda is there. Sign up, It'll be a good class, and you will learn something that you probably had no idea existed, and you can go out and do something that maybe doesn't have so much competition. Okay, so we have a question, Adrian, from JC in Las Vegas. Please ask Adrian what he does with home leads when the home cannot remain on the land where it is currently situated. So I guess there may be some reason that the home can't stay on the land after you buy it?
Yeah, one that needs to be moved. We definitely get these leads. And as long as it's the June 15th, 1976, because you can't move them legally before that. And mainly 1980 and newer. The late 70s, legally you can move them, but most people don't. I don't buy and sell those. I'm not a dealer. If you're doing multiple of them, you're going to need to be a dealer. It's just not my niche. So I found someone that it is his niche. That's what he does, and I send them to him.
Okay.
For a while in my business, that was my best dollar per minute because we would qualify them and get a few pictures and send them over to Rod, and then a check would show up from Rod. So you have to have partners. You know, we talk about this as a team business. Well, I don't love those, so I found someone that does.
Okay. Question from Michael. So where do we go to find the mobile homes that we can purchase with the land?
You could look on the MLS, like a lot of other people, under manufactured homes. You could look on Zillow. You could do all your direct marketing. As I alluded to earlier, my favorite is telling all these investors that kind of shove their nose up in the air towards mobile homes. And realtors as well. Realtors right now have been some of my best lead sources, although the one I just closed was from another investor. We could use all the same marketing. You just change the word house or you change the word apartment over to mobile home.
Hmm. So basically the same way you would find houses, except you're not going to get a lot of leads from other investors on houses they don't want.
Exactly. We'll talk more on Saturday, deeper into that, but that is the high level of it, is use what everyone's using for houses to change the word from house to mobile home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And tell everyone what you do, always, all the time.
Yes, tell your story. Question from Kim. What does Adrian do when the home on the land turns out to be in such rough shape it's not worth renovating?
Ooh, okay. So if the home is not worth renovating, first I'm going to say it probably is. You would just be surprised what we can renovate. But let's just assume it truly is condemned. I've actually bought one that was condemned, and in 2 weeks the county was demoing it. And by the way, that was a 2015.
Mm.
So it really goes to show it depends on how you take care of the home, not the age of the home. So what did I do with that when I bought it? I decided to sell it to someone that is going to put a brand new home on it.
Yeah.
I could have moved the brand new home on there and resold it that way. I was just sticking with exactly my lane, and I've gotten really good at one thing, and now I branch away. But at that time, I didn't want the shiny object, even though it was so close to what I do. I did one thing. But when you sell it to someone that is going to live in it and they are getting a loan from a manufacturer, the brand new home, that loan, most people don't realize it. It covers everything, meaning the home, the land, if we have to do septics or wells, the moving, the tree trimming, impact fees, everything can get wrapped into that loan. And guess who gets a check at the very, very, very beginning? Me that has the land. And I don't have to worry about anything going wrong, any county, any government stuff. I get a check right then. So that's what I have done many times. I do a few of those a year typically.
You have really just created your business to be the way you like it. Not the way somebody else said to do it.
Exactly. That's very important to me, because why have a business that isn't serving my life? I want a business that's serving my life and I have fun. So I keep in my business, not when it's draining me of life.
Well, Adrian, we are out of time. I, again, want to encourage listeners who are interested in finding out more about how to do this in an organized fashion with slides and, you know, the whole nine yards, A to Z. Go to CincinnatiRIA.com. Check out this Saturday's all-day seminar with Adrian on Introduction to Investing in Mobile Homes. We will be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.